Matthew chapter 6, verse 9b, the latter part of verse 9. This is the reading of God's word. Hallowed be your name. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of hearing your word. Oh Father, how we need your word. We will die without it. But Father, we thank you that you are so faithful in providing the heavenly manna so that we may eat and be healthy, so that we may live our lives for your glory. Oh Father, we thank you and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallowed be your name, or may your name be hallowed, or may your name be kept holy. Now, when we say God's name, what do we mean? Well, let us go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. That's NASB. And seemed like that translation that I just read seemed like it is Moses who is calling upon the name of the Lord. But if you have other translation like ESV, verse 5 reads like this: the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, with Moses there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So with that translation, it is Lord himself who is proclaiming the name of the Lord. God is proclaiming his own name, and this is how he does that in verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. You can see there that his name includes all of his attributes. Thus, when we say his name, it means God himself. In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3, God says about the temple, it is a place where he has his name. God's name is in his temple, which means God is in his temple. So hallowed be your name, can be hallowed be God. Our God is holy God. He is absolutely set apart. And you know the first question of the Shorter Catechism, what is the chief end of man? What is the primary purpose of man? We all know the answer to that. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now let me ask you another question. What would be the chief end of God? Now we just talked about the chief end of man is to glorify God, to enjoy God forever. What is the chief end of God? What is the primary purpose of God? God's chief end is to glorify Himself, to bring glory to Him, to bring glory to His name, that His name be hallowed. That is the chief purpose of God. But as you know, that name of God has been defiled or profaned by sinners like you and me. Now, what do we mean when we say God's name is defiled or profaned? Now, obviously, His name itself cannot be defiled. Then what do we mean? The issue here is how the people consider the name of God. That is the issue. How has the name of God defiled and profaned then? Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, I'm going to read from verse 16. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols. Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of His land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. As we know, the Israelites are in exile. God has judged them and kicked them out of the promised land, and they are in exile. And this caused God's name to be defiled and profaned. Well, 1 Kings chapter 18 explains. Let us go there. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 29. First Kings chapter 18 verse 29. Doesn't look right. 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 29. 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 29. Let me read it from verse 28. The Rabshakeh, well, this Rabshakeh is the spokesperson for Assyrian king. As you know, after Solomon, the Israel was divided into two nations. The north kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom was called Judah. And the northern kingdom, because of their sins, the Assyrians came and destroyed the northern kingdom. Now, Assyrians have now come to Judah, and this is what the spokesperson of that kingdom, Assyrian kingdom, says. Verse 28. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judean, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you from my hand. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me and eat each of his vine and each of his fig tree and drink each of the waters of his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah when he misleads you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Eva? Have they delivered Samaria from any hand? Who among all the gods of the lands have delivered their land from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" So you have the background there. Rabshakeh, the spokesperson for Assyrian king, who conquered the northern Israel, now speaks to the southern country, Judah. And he is saying, in fact, your God, who cannot protect the northern country, Israel, cannot protect you. So surrender. Do not trust your God. He cannot save you. At that time, nations had their gods. When they lose a war with other nations, then they believe that the God of other nation is greater and stronger than their God. Thus, just Israelites being in exile, being in captivity, God's name is now profaned, because the world will issue was always how they see, how they consider the name of God. But is this what was going on with Israelites? What was the true reason for the Israelites' exile? Is God really so weak that he could not protect and defend Israel? Is God really powerless to save Israel? Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Go to 2 Chronicles. Well, again, I think it's misprint and mistype. I don't know what chapter. Well, there it says that the reason why these people are in exile was not because God was so weak to protect or to save, but it was because of their sin. That God continued to send his prophets to warn these people of their sins, but they did not listen. Not only they did not listen to his prophets, but they even killed his prophets. The Israelites are in exile because of their sins. It is God's judgment upon them. But remember, from the very beginning, God has made a promise to Abraham. He would, through Abraham, accomplish a great nation, and God would gather his people to the promised land and forever be their God, and they will forever be his people. But look at them right now. They are in captivity in foreign land. Their kingdom is destroyed, and their temple is also destroyed. All that points to what? All that points to our spiritual state before we were saved. We were slaves to Satan. But God promises deliverance. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Verse 22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but to my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nation which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 23. And what one nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself, and to do a great thing for you and awesome things for your land before your people whom you have redeemed for yourself from Egypt, from nations and their gods. For you have established for yourself your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Now therefore, O Lord God, the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and his house, confirm it forever, and do as you have spoken, that your name may be magnified forever by saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and many of the house of your servant David be established before you. And one more place, Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 9. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Now, from these verses, you need to understand what it means for God's name to be holy. God will vindicate the holiness of his great name by saving his people. As long as his people are in captivity, his name is profaned. We need to understand then that God will vindicate the holiness of his great name by saving his people. And also at the same time, whenever he saves his people, there's always judgment for the world. Zechariah 14:9 says, the Lord will be king over all the earth in that day. The Lord will be the only one, and his name, the only one. So understand the biblical understanding of what our prayer is today. Hallowed be thy name. What are we asking? What are we praying for? God fulfills this through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is only by his life, his death, and his resurrection. Only by and through our Lord Jesus Christ, God's name be hallowed. He will do all this for his own name's sake. Yes, you should consider yourself as precious Son of God in Jesus Christ, but apart from Christ, you are not able. There's no way you're going to bring glory to God's name on your own. Only thing you are able to do is profaning his name. You will always profane his name. Hallowed be thy name. Who will accomplish this? Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we read the book of Revelation, we already see what Christ has already accomplished. When you look into heaven from these verses of Revelation, you will see that God's name is already hallowed. Revelation chapter 4 verse 8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Yes, God's name is kept holy in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever and will cast down crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, O Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and they were created." Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" Yes, God's glorious name is hallowed forever and ever. So when we pray, "Hallowed be Your name," what are we asking for? Hallowed be Your name. Only our Lord Jesus Christ is able to accomplish it. Thus, when we pray, "Hallowed be Your name," we are praying for Jesus Christ. We are praying for Jesus Christ to completely and perfectly consummate our salvation. Thus, God's name be hallowed forever and ever. We are praying for Jesus Christ to completely and perfectly consummate heaven, our eternal home. Thus, God's name be hallowed in that glorious land forever and ever. What are we asking? Only our Lord Jesus can fulfill. He alone is able to accomplish what we are asking. We are praying that our salvation and His kingdom be consummated by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that God's name be hallowed forever and ever. No more slaves to sin. Understand the biblical concept of glorifying God. It is not for you to do something on your own, however much effort you put in, and somehow you think that that is worthy for God to receive. Maybe the world will recognize your accomplishment. Maybe they will like amazed by it. The only thing you are able apart from Jesus Christ is to profane God's name. That you will actually live for this world, so that you will show that you are slaves to this world, so that you will profane God's name. That God is so weak that He cannot even save you. Or that He says that He saved you, but you're still living for this world, profaning His holy name. What are you asking when you pray this? Do you mean it when you pray this? Do you really mean it? That God's name be hallowed. That God's name be kept holy. Does your life show that you mean this prayer? We are praying that our salvation and His kingdom be consummated by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that God's name be hallowed forever and ever. But remember, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it is already accomplished spiritually by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus God's name is already hallowed, though the world cannot see it and will not see it. It is accomplished by our Lord. But how did he accomplish? Well, by being humiliated on the cross. Humiliated by the world. That's how he brought glory to God's name. How else you gonna bring glory to God's name? Do you really believe that you could bring glory to God's name through the worldly things? This prayer will be perfectly answered when you and I will be perfectly glorified on that day when we see our Lord Jesus Christ. That day when we see him face to face. When all of us are going to be glorified and be like Christ. The whole world will know that God is holy. That God is truly God. So as you pray this, you want that reality to come. You're asking God to consummate our eternal home. Oh, brothers and sisters, we will see more and more, but through this prayer, we learn what is God's desire for us to pray for. And you read it again and again and again. There's nothing that you are asking here is from this world or of this world. You might say, what about asking for daily bread? Well, if you just ask for daily bread, that is hardly seeking the world. That is not seeking the world. Nobody will accuse you of seeking the world when you seek daily bread. Brothers and sisters, understand what you mean when you pray this. Otherwise, then it will be just what? Just babbling. You don't even know what you're asking. This prayer, again, this prayer will be perfectly answered when you and I will be perfectly glorified. On that glorious day when we see our Lord Jesus Christ, but spiritually it is already answered in Jesus Christ. And even now, as we are becoming more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ, it is being answered in Jesus Christ. As we pray this prayer sincerely, we witness that the salvation of God is already given to us. And we witness that this prayer is already answered, and it is being answered even as we pray. You will see also, as we study the rest of the Lord's Prayer, that everything that we ask in Lord's Prayer is already accomplished spiritually. But what we're asking is that spiritual reality, that eternal reality to be visible, that Jesus Christ will come and consummate our salvation. Hallowed be thy name. Yes, by Jesus Christ, it is already accomplished. But we continue to pray, Hallowed be thy name, until that day and forever, when our salvation is consummated. And not even one person in the whole world can deny that day that God is holy. And because this prayer is already answered spiritually, we're able to pray with boldness, with certainty. Because in Christ, it is already answered. Thus, we must 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Because if it is our desire that God's name be glorified or magnified or kept holy, and as we understand that that prayer is already answered in Jesus Christ, and as the person who with that kind of desire, how are we to live? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. John chapter 3 verse 30. John the Baptist says, He, Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. This is how you live. This is the life of those people who pray this prayer. Philippians chapter 1 verse 20 and 21, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11, whoever speaks, if you speak, whoever speaks if is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Whatever we do for the glory of God. We must, through all those things we do, witness the fact that God receives all the glory through His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Whatever you do it for the glory of God, but whenever you do those things, you have this understanding that only through Jesus Christ that God's name will receive the glory. So you do it with that understanding. So even as you speak, you do so as if you're speaking God's word. If you serve, then you do so as if you are doing that from the strength that comes from God through Jesus Christ. So by doing that, you witness that it is only through Christ God will receive glory, that His name will be hallowed. Remember, brothers and sisters, apart from Jesus Christ, only thing you are capable is to profane His name. That's all you could do. So even as you pray, hallowed be thy name, You're praying for Jesus Christ. You're desperately seeking Christ. Understand? Because only in Christ it is answered, and only in Christ it will be perfectly consummated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, forgive us the arrogance that we have, thinking that somehow we are able to glorify you on our own strength, that somehow what we accomplish is worthy for you to receive. But Father, when anything that we have done is received by you, it is because we do it in Jesus Christ, that we are united to him. O Father, hallowed be thy name. We pray that your Son will come back quickly to consummate our salvation, so that we may be glorified and be like Jesus Christ, be completely separated, set apart to live the glorious life in heaven, so that on that day, everyone will know God is holy. Oh, how we want. How we desire that day to come quickly, so that our prayer, even though it is already answered in Jesus Christ spiritually, that our prayer will be answered perfectly, and it will bring great joy to all of us that you hear our prayers. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.